Want flexibility? Take yoga. Want flexibility with your health insurance? Check out United Healthcare Insurance Plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer flexible, budget-friendly medical, dental, and vision coverage that may be right for you. More at uh1.com.
Give it to me!
Hey everyone, I'm Molly Wood.
And I'm Tom Merritt.
And welcome to It's a Thing, the weekly podcast supported by you, whose mission is to serve as a leader in the industry and bring podcasts into the modern era. We employ cutting-edge technologies and processes in our design and sourcing to stay well-informed on what is in demand by consumers, to produce podcasts in a timely manner, and deliver them quickly to anywhere in the world. Thank you for joining us.
I mean, Rich Once keeps again. Outdoing himself on how well they apply to our show.
And our things.
And it's a thing.
Previous things. It's unbelievable. This is the about page for shine.com.
Or as you heard me call it, Shein.
Shein, which is probably closer to how you should say it, but
probably not. But
the Americans just call it Shine. That is incredible. And I think we can all agree 100% us.
Yeah, we employ cutting-edge technologies and processes in our design and sourcing to stay well-informed on what is in demand.
We really do. And we do it all without the ecological disaster or intellectual property theft.
That's true. You won't end up selling our stuff to Goodwill. Well, you don't sell things to Goodwill, but you know what I mean.
You know what I mean.
No, we have used our cutting-edge technologies and processes to identify that pickles are a thing.
I mean, what now? Tell me more. Ew.
A pickle craze is sweeping the United States of America. So says the New York Times. People are into pickles, and there is now pickle pizza, pickle potato chips, pickle beer, pickle cotton candy, pickle ice cream, pickle marshmallows, and Sonic has added pickle juice slush to its menu.
What? Okay. This is one of the many, many, many reasons that I love this show so, so much. Because one, I had completely missed this. And two, now I know. And those reasons alone are incredible. This is incredible.
Yeah.
What?
There is a fermented vegetable craze sweeping the United States. And the Conversation, which I'm a huge fan of what they do at the Conversation. The Conversation.com has an article from Kenneth Simsack, instructor of food science and human nutrition at Colorado State University, and Jeffrey Miller, associate professor of hospitality management at Colorado State University.
Incredible.
Teaming up to explain what is it about pickles? Why is it?
Subheads on this article include a cornerstone of civilization. Pickling.
Yep.
That's amazing.
Because it's preservation.
Sour and slimy. I mean, I do love pickles, but would I have a pickly slushy? I don't know.
Let's get right to the heart of the matter. Pickle works well in so many dishes because the leading flavors in most main dishes are fat, umami, salt, something creamy, and frequently something sweet. Pickles add acidity and crunch to balance out your dish.
They literally have a picture, by the way, of white wine and dill pickle potato chips, the perfect summer pairing in, of course, the perfect universal wine glass, which we identified in the show like 2 summers ago. I'm just saying.
Yes, exactly.
Is it weird that I want to try it? But I'm sorry, a pickle pizza? I don't know.
And Ambassador Domo is pointing out the big dill cheeseburger. I mean, pickles on burgers is not a new thing, but dill is like a sub thing in here that's sweeping around everywhere.
My good. This is so wonderful. It's so wonderful that I'm sending my son a text at this exact moment. That's like, are you familiar with this?
Plus,
do you know about the pickle situation?
Pickles are good for you. One of the things that my doctor, who's very into like nutrition, is like, you should eat fermented things. You should eat kefir and kimchi, and you know, you should eat pickles if you like pickles.
Wow.
It's good for you. Okay. It's good for your microbiota.
I tried being keto for like 7 days and pickles are like a great, like basically zero calorie snack.
Yeah.
But it's so sort of sour but also savory in the kimchi way that it makes you feel really satisfied.
Yeah. Cornichons. Those little tiny pickles.
Oh, totally. So French. Yeah. So French. Mm-hmm. Oops, I'm sorry. He responded. That's my fault. If anybody heard that loud ding.
I didn't hear it, actually.
But okay, good, good, good. I have it on Do Not Disturb, but it happened.
What did he say?
Incredible.
Well, you got to tell us what he said now.
That wasn't him. Dang it. That was somebody else.
Somebody else. Never mind. All right. Oh, but pickles. Pickles are...
Pickles.
I mean, they've been a thing before. If we'd been doing this show since the 20s, for goodness sake, we would add pickles.
I guess. Apparently, they're cornerstone of civilization.
Exactly.
But if they're putting them on pizza right now, that is a thing.
Pickles are back to being a thing.
Amazing. Yeah. So this is like one of those things that I almost hate to bring up because I hate it when I discover how easily programmed I am. And I find myself being like, 100% organically, unrelated to anything, I am just all of a sudden really into the boho look. And I'm going to add even more plants. And I'm like all about the extra little rugs. And it's so funny that I just keep seeing this pop up everywhere. And I'm sure it's just the algorithm. And then pretty soon I'm like, no, boho is totally in. And this actually started because every time I looked up anything boho, so originally I had identified a very specific part of the boho, obviously short for bohemian design craze, that kept showing up everywhere that I'm not doing because I spent a lot of money on my light fixtures. And that thing is wicker pendant lamps.
Wow.
So that it's like a basket, but it's a light fixture.
Yeah, a basket over your light fixture.
Yep. It's literally an upside down basket over your light fixture. And they are freaking everywhere.
This
and
is
every
very
time
70s looking.
It is. I mean, right? It just goes with the whole kind of 70s, like rolling right into cocaine time.
Cocaine 80s. Is back. Well, that should be also one of our things, huh?
It really should. Well, we joked about it with the 80s, the cocaine decor Twitter feed. But yeah, it turns out actual cocaine is back. But you know what, kids? Don't do it because fentanyl. I'm sorry. Not worth it.
Yeah.
Not
also
worth it.
Expensive.
Also cocaine. So like, don't do it, but definitely the fentanyl thing. Mm-hmm. No, but yeah. So I was all, my God, wicker pendant lamps are everywhere. And then I realized that my interest in boho decor is actually just marketing working. Because boho decor is totally a thing. Like
it's totally a thing.
It's totally a thing.
I had no idea why I was seeing every puzzle in the app that I play called Patterned on Apple Arcade was boho suddenly.
Yeah.
Like everything on the app is suddenly, I'm like, why is everything dead? Now I know. Now I know. Yeah. Thank you.
Yeah.
Now I understand.
Because as Shara Marie in our Discord points out, it is the natural evolution of cottagecore.
Sure. Yeah. That makes
like
sense.
Like because you take cottagecore and then you throw in a couple more plants and a couple more rugs and some, some artifacts from Mexico. I'm not saying I'm looking at some specifically.
Cottagecore is kind of a big tent. You want to narrow it down a little.
Exactly. And then you're like, and it also is a classy way to do maximalist. Remember when we identified maximalist on the show?
Right.
I was like, maximalism is back. Minimal's out. Maximal's in. And a great way to do maximalism that's like organic looking because of all the freaking plants is boho. So boho is huge. Wicker pendant lamps are a huge subpart of boho. And I'm trying to resist, but I'm literally looking at my light fixtures
right
now.
You're totally buying the light fixture.
I'm
so mad. A wicker dome pendant light right now, aren't you?
It's literally a matter of minutes. I love them. I bought these. They're cool. They're like so
mid-century. Just get the $157, not the $840.
I'm trying to do like modern boho, like mix it up with my mid-century. I think that's the other reason actually that boho is probably taking off is because it goes with mid-century. Yeah. Like you can mix those two things really well.
It flows into it nicely.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I'm looking at my puzzle app. Because I'm 75. I'm looking at my puzzle app. Boho Bear, Boho Clouds, Let's
Stop
Play Pirates,
it.
Boho Sky, Little Prince.
Come
like,
on.
Boho everything. Everything's boho. And I had no idea. I was like, why are all these puzzles suddenly boho?
I like legitimately thought that I was like, I don't know that this had just sprung into my head full formed like Athena from the forehead of Zeus, but no, no. So sadly, easily programmed over here.
Well, the other thing that is a thing is quiet quitting.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. I'm so glad you brought this up, actually.
I feel like I've also heard people call it silent quitting, but quiet quitting seems to be the more, you know, common reference.
It's alliterative. It's
now, I love this CNN article because it points out that the catchphrase is misleading, making some people think it means workers doing the bare minimum at their jobs, which, by the way, it totally means. But this article argues that employees still excel at their jobs. They just aren't working overtime to do it. It's about stopping doing work that people think is beyond what they were hired to do and not getting compensated for. I'll argue it's both.
Those are the same thing. Yeah.
It's people just like stopping doing work just to see how long they can get away with it. It's also people just ratcheting down and being like, you know what? I'm not going to kill myself for this job.
Yeah.
And that's a spectrum, you know, that's a continuum. You may fall somewhere along that, but the quiet quitting label appeal applies nonetheless.
I think you're absolutely right. And everybody sort of wants to, this may surprise you, but here in America, people want to make things binary. yeah. Like it's either this or this, and I will fight you to the death.
Right.
I think that's
human nature to make things binary. The Americans are just the best at it.
Yeah, you're right. We are exceptional. Yeah, it's American exceptionalism. But you're absolutely right. Because the truth is, like, most people's job descriptions are pretty minor. Right? If it's just, right. I mean, I remember having a summer internship that I completed all the work they had for me in the summer internship in 2 weeks. I mean, and I think that's probably not unusual for a lot of low-level jobs. If it's just like, I don't know, I'm thinking back to CNET, right? It's like, write one article a week or something. Okay. And you don't have to do that great a job at. Or I look at, like, my son and I were watching a YouTube video the other day where somebody took Ninja's masterclass on how to be a streamer. Mm-hmm. And then, you know, reviewed it. Critiqued it, if you will. And it is very clear that Ninja's masterclass in how to be a streamer is also a masterclass in quiet quitting. It's just like, yeah, I couldn't be bothered to do like a lot of work here. I just sort of rolled up and said some stuff about streaming, talked about my hair a bunch.
That's how, like, you do it.
The bare minimum is a lot of people's jobs.
Well, I think, okay, put it this way. Whenever you have to get a promotion, what do you want to try to say? You want to try to say they went above and beyond.
Yep, right? Exactly. Uh-huh.
So the gestalt is keep pushing yourself, go above and beyond to get promoted. But you can't do that forever. Mm-hmm. And I don't know if it's just that not enough people are getting promoted or people working from home in greater numbers caused people to suddenly wake up from their Stockholm syndrome or what, but there's a lot of people going, or maybe it's just the stress of COVID, you know, it's like, what? I'm pushed past the limit. I can't do this anymore. It's probably a little bit of all of those things. Right. But it's people going like, yeah, why am I beating myself up for this? Believe me, I have people very close to me who've had this exact conversation of like, you know what? I'm not going to keep going to the limit and beyond for no reason. What am I getting out of it? You know? And sometimes it's getting passed up for promotion.
A lot. It is absolutely that. It's all of the, I really sincerely believe that for so many people, it was the pandemic. It was realizing
it's a huge part of that
companies just did not, and I worked at one, right? Like companies that did not take care of their workers at all. That were just like, oh, you have a kid at home and we probably laid people off and we're going to need you to do double. And most people were, you know, effectively working people, certainly with kids or pets or even just a house to take care of that got so much messier because you were in it all day, every day, right? Yeah. Like all of that stuff. And employers were just like, yeah, I'm going to need you to come in on Saturday and turn in that TPS report. Like everybody woke up all at once to the fact that work doesn't love you back. And, you know, they, because in addition, and the Discord's pointing this out, in addition to quiet quitting, people call it acting your wage.
Yeah.
And there was a whole thread on, you know, how people consider it wage theft, to basically be like, yeah, please do. You know, everyone's had this experience where you're up for a promotion, and in order to get the promotion, you start doing the job.
Yeah.
The higher level job for free for some period of months or years. And maybe
do the job you want to get promoted in. And then that'll show us that you deserve it. What a scam.
And there was some article that said that Americans were working on average 11 hours per week more at home. Mm-hmm. More.
Right. Because there's also that psychological factor of like not having to go home. Mm-hmm. So you just keep going.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, I mean, those of us who worked from home before COVID were like, oh yeah, no, that's real. Like, oh, yeah. you got to pay attention to that shit.
Right. That exactly. I was like, oh, kids, I got some tips for you about boundaries. Yeah. Let me tell you.
Right.
I was super irritated actually when everybody else came home and everything went to Zoom, because previously I had lived a very happy work from home life where everything was on the phone and you can get so much other shit done when you're on the phone.
Nobody's looking at you. Yeah.
And nobody's looking at you.
Yep.
And then Zoom made you be like right in front of the computer. And I was like, this is BS. Unacceptable.
Yeah.
Only 24% of Americans thought their managers had their best interests at heart, according to a Gallup poll released in March 2022.
Right.
That tells you all you need to know.
That doesn't even distinguish between which managers are actively against me and which are just like, yeah, they don't care.
Yeah.
You know?
Like, yep. Work doesn't
They don't have to hate you
back.
To just be like, yeah, you know what? I mean, I'm protecting myself. So,
yeah.
Yeah.
Yep.
But
yes, huge thing. Huge thing.
Yeah. And I've heard it a lot in the past couple of weeks too.
I have too. In fact, it's one of those things that became so ever present as a news story that I didn't even think to bring it to the show. And I'm so glad you did, because
That's what's funny is I actually heard someone on a podcast mention it and I was like, ooh, that's a good thing. And I noted it and then saw all the news stories about it.
And it just went crazy. You know,
it was one of those situations. It also just in our conversation here, talking about lockdowns and all that. I was at my backyard earlier today and having a little flashback to something we had done during lockdown. And I was like, I wonder how many people hate their house now because it reminds them of lockdown. For me, it was a pleasant memory because we have a nice backyard. We're lucky enough to, you know, have that space. And it was like, oh, it was a nice little escape from things to sit and have fish and chips, which was the memory. But yeah, it was lovely. But I'm like, how many people were not in as nice of a place and had to spend all their time in that house, and now they've gone back to the office, and when they come home, they're like, ugh, I'm back to this horrible place that I had to live in for more than a year.
100%. I think we just have only begun to scratch. I'm really starting to have realizations about what the pandemic did to certain relationships or didn't do, or, you know, and I think, and quiet quitting is unquestionably inextricably related to the pandemic. And there are going to be so many more things like this where it's just like, wait a second.
Yeah.
Yeah. Pandemic nostalgia, by the way, which you called. Totally. I totally have that. I totally have it. Like the other day, I was just like, it was so simple.
Yeah. It was
just simple.
It was
and my family had
and
to
stressful.
Hang out with me.
And I realize more, the more time goes on, the more I can walk into Target without a mask and not feel like, oh crap, what am I doing? Which I did put on my mask, but I was like, I wasn't as panicked. Anyway, the more time that goes on, the more I realize how stressed I was. Like,
right.
I didn't realize it. I didn't feel it at the time. And yet there was something simple about never having to worry about plans.
Right. It's true. Yeah. What a weird time. This is just a simple, speaking of like things that are ever present that I have to note and do not even have a wealth of commentary on. See every TikTok ever for wait for it.
Yeah.
Or I should say,
oh,
wait for it. Because it's always in that freaking lady robot voice. Every video ever that is trying to, I assume, get you to wait to watch till the end, because frankly, sometimes there's nothing to wait for, but they all say, wait for it.
Wait for it.
Wait for it.
Yeah.
I became a little bit obsessed with it. I was like, this is almost like a metaphor for our time. Speaking of the pandemic, right? Mm. It's just a metaphor for like waiting for, I don't know, anything, the next shoe to drop, the next election, Trump to get indicted, whatever it is, right? Like everybody's just like
the next natural disaster.
The next natural disaster. Exactly. Like every day I wake up and I'm like, what fresh hell will today bring? Wait for it.
Wait for it.
Wait for it. Yep.
It and is that's it. Common in language for this to happen where we watch a thing that was perfectly serviceable in its role. Get used so much that it starts to mission creep outside of its role. And I feel like that's what you're identifying here. Because yeah. Wait for it was great as a like, and then wait for it, he dies, right? Like, you know, whatever you're telling, like it's a way to build a little momentary false suspense. And now it's being used. It's like, no, that's not a wait for it.
No, it's like, wait for it. The dog went out the door. Like,
Kind of expected the dog because you got a dog door. All right.
Because you got a door and the dog is by the door. And eventually I bet it's going to go out the door. Wait for it.
Yeah.
But it was enough of it. So it is,
funny.
It is a pre-existing like thing. And apparently in 2008, it showed up in Urban Dictionary.
Oh, wow. Okay.
As an entry crediting How I Met Your Mother. For popularizing the phrase.
Really?
And then in 2011, YouTuber Dr. J 2012 uploaded a video titled Thriller Cat, Wait For It.
Mm-hmm.
And so it's been happening. It's been out there.
It's a very useful thing when you're watching a video very and you're useful. Like, I don't get it. What am I? And wait for it.
And they're like wait
okay,
for
I'll
it.
Wait. Oh, I'm glad I waited. The funny thing happened. Yeah.
Right. But now it's just... Every GD thing. Everything. Yeah. Wait for it.
Wait for it doesn't make the thing you're waiting for good. I think that's what people are misunderstanding. And that, again, that's a common thing that happens with language. But
just because I waited for it doesn't mean it was worth it. But I just want to acknowledge, I see you, TikTok, and I'm not waiting.
That's good.
I'm not waiting. That's good. I'm done waiting.
Molly's not waiting. We have feedback. We get it in email from feedback@itsathing.me's account that you send it to. Thank you for sending the emails to that account. Aaron did that. Thank you, Aaron. Aaron wrote in with a solution for the drink of the summer. Oh, thank God you saved us, Aaron.
Help us.
Just in time. There's so little summer left. Aaron says, hello, Tom and Molly. I have a proposal for the drink of the summer. I spent quite a bit of time in the UK this summer and flavored gin. Is definitely a thing over there. Well, gin is definitely a thing in England.
Yes.
But yes, accurate. Yes. Okay. Flavored gin, specifically rhubarb gin. I've never been a big gin drinker, but I had a rhubarb gin and tonic, and I'm a convert. Not to be outdone, I highly recommend the rhubarb gin and ginger beer. Well...
What?
That is intriguing. I was there in July when it was too darn hot, and that drink really hit the spot. Rhubarb gin is kind of hard to find here in the U.S., but let's talk it up and make it a thing so that we can actually get it here. Oh, I see what you're doing, Aaron, and I respect and salute it. Yes.
Inception. Uh-huh. Inception. Thingception.
Absolutely. Rhubarb gin. Go ask for it at your local liquor store now.
Yeah, rhubarb as a mainstream anything is going to be a tough sell. That's... Gonna be a tough sell.
And we're big rhubarb fans here. We're not down on the rhubarb.
Not. I have never cared for the no. Rhubarb was one of those things like in Montana.
When I say
North
we,
Dakota,
I mean me and Ray.
It grows. I mean, you can't stop it. You cannot. So there are certain seasons in Montana and North Dakota where if you leave your car window open, people are tossing in chunks like bundles of rhubarb and zucchini, and you can't stop them.
We grew rhubarb in my backyard, and my grandma made an amazing rhubarb pie. Rhubarb strawberry, all right? You fakers. Yeah, that's just strawberry pie that you waved some rhubarb over. No, rhubarb pie. It's good stuff.
Oh, God, it's so sour. I hate it. But I am curious. I don't know if it's going to be the drink of the summer, but...
I fully support Aaron's campaign, though.
You know what? I like your attempt at Thingception. Yeah. Let's do it. Meanwhile, Sarah is ready for the fall, as is Shara Marie in our Discord. We were just talking about this in the pre-show, which you can get if you are a patron who gets our bonus content. Sarah writes, hi, Team Thing. 12-foot skeleton decoration.
Already?
are definitely a thing in my area. And it looks like nationwide, they're totally out of stock at Home Depot already. And I found them being sold secondhand for hundreds of dollars above original price. I am jumping up and down because I love Halloween so much. Folks do not seem to be waiting until Halloween to put them up either. I have a long commute to work through rural Maine, and at least three of the people on my route have had them up all summer long, decorating them seasonally by stringing patriotic bunting or strings of flowers between their bony hands.
Pain in the ass to take down. I get that. That makes sense.
That's hilariously, that is literally what she says. Maybe they're a real pain in the butt to put up, so people just leave them up year round. Further proof of thingdom. This came up on NPR Politics Podcast's weekly Can't Let It Go segment on Friday. Apparently, one of their regular reporters is absolutely crushed that she didn't get one before they sold out and is looking for one secondhand. Amazing.
I just now checked my local Home Depot. Limit one per order. Out of stock. Sign up here to be notified when they come back.
What in the blue blazes? Yep. Okay, that's... So you're saying that my 5-foot skeleton...
Five
that I thought was so cool,
yeah,
is 40% of a man.
Oh,
dude, I just looked it up.
Is it a man?
It is listed at Walmart for $1,000.
Wow, oh, that's one of the resale things,
yeah.
You got to be careful with Walmart. People forget that Walmart's like Amazon now, anybody can sell stuff there.
$1,000.
That's
for a 12 foot, and they've got a picture of it next to a normal size human, and that is incredible.
Human included for scale.
$55 a month with the firm, people. Wow. Buy now, pay later forever. Yeah. That wow.
Pay later forever.
Love this show.
Lee Price has a question and a thing. Are you ready?
Let's go.
Although Gen Z has been wearing 90s t-shirts for a while, it seems Nirvana t-shirts are being worn by everyone. As a diehard Nirvana fan, I'm feeling like the opposite of a gatekeeper. Come on in, everyone! Their music helped me through some very confusing teenage years, so I'm hoping it encourages this generation to delve deeper into them too. My question is, what do we call the opposite of being a gatekeeper? An usher? I'm sensing AI-inspired album art, as distinct from AI-generated art, may be emerging as a thing as well. Check the two recent albums from Royskop, Profound Mysteries Part 1 and 2. Surprisingly, these images weren't created by AI, but constructed by an artist who was inspired by AI.
Huh.
Kay. Either way, your head will fold in on itself trying to make sense of either of these images. Last week, I came across a new industrial album I'm quite into. And yes, that sentence is a surefire way of exposing myself as a member of Gen X. Check the artwork for Black Magnet's new album, Body Prophecy, which I should warn kind of looks like it should be NSFW, even though it technically probably isn't. Again, it's obvious this probably wasn't designed by AI directly, but was created by an artist inspired by AI. All this said, I won't be mad if this doesn't become a widespread thing, because imagine if these mind-folding visuals eventually became an entire VR aesthetic. I'd like to keep my breakfast in my body, please.
Oh, it's gonna, though. It's gonna. Wow, these are deep cuts, Lee Price.
Yeah, good
deep
stuff.
Deep cuts.
Yeah. AI-inspired art makes perfect sense. It's of the time.
It is 100% of the time. That's amazing. It is going to become a huge thing. And also, I love the idea of the opposite of being a gatekeeper. Like, you're like a docent.
A docent.
Or, right?
That's good.
Because it's, yeah, especially for the things that are kind of like a return. Around. Yeah, let me guide you around. I was there the first time.
I like Usher because I like Usher.
Right. But there's some confusion, obviously.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
Docent's really good.
Love this. I love this. A thing docent. And then finally, Jody needs a thing check. Can I get a thing check?
All right. Thing check on aisle now.
This. Thing check on line 15. Jody writes, it seems many people are starting small flower farms. They are often designers as well for special events. The Minneapolis Star Tribune had an article this week on a pick your own type of farm.
Oh.
Fascinating.
Yeah.
All right. I haven't seen it, but I'm on the lookout.
I'm on the lookout. Thank you, Jody.
Love it.
Well, let's get to our shout outs. Rich Straffolino, our producer, not here for the recording right now because is he bowling? Was that right?
Baseball.
Baseball.
It's a baseball game.
Oh, minor league baseball, though.
Yeah.
That's what it was.
So great. Okay. He's living that Ohio dream right there.
He really is. But he nevertheless prepared an amazing lineup, including these shout outs based on the 1982 Philips technical overview of the compact disc.
Because CDs are a thing. I love this guy.
So right. If you are a member of our patron at the shout out level every week, as you know, you are immortalized in one of Rich's amazing shout outs, not lazy shout outs like these other shows do, where they just say your name.
Say your name. Give me a break. Give you like some dumb title like Mega King of the Universe. No, you get a custom artisanal handcrafted shout out such as this. Here we go. 3, 2. In 1877, Morris Jones's phonograph played the nursery rhyme Miranda Janelle Had a Little Lamb after he had recorded it on the wax cylinder in his own voice. The Benjamin Forrest voice had been reproduced for the first time in history. Then came Andrew Bradley's wax disc, followed by the 78 turns per minute James C. Smith disc, and eventually the modern Lee Price record, or LP. Now, when we enjoy the music from our LPs at home, it is almost perfectly reproduced by our hi-fi Eric Duncan.
However, Kevin Sill himself is a weak link in the chain, since damage to the vulnerable patron often introduces an unwanted accompaniment of undesirable Joe Hoods to the music. This cannot happen with Gabrielle Cohen. It is scanned optically, so playing it cannot produce any damage, and dust and finger marks have far less effect because Laura Abel can, in fact, be corrected. Another way in which Jake Woods differs from the conventional long play patrons is that the sound is recorded on the disc in Louis St. Amour form. To make the best use of it, it is necessary to build up a complete Mike Akins that extends from the record manufacturer's equipment to the record player's home.
Bravo. Bravo, as always. Bravo
also,
to producer
Lee
Rich.
Price as the LP.
As the LP, I mean.
Brilliant.
Oh, my biscuits. The
so
man.
Good.
Is a genius, and you should congratulate yourselves, patrons, for supporting the show and keeping it on the airwaves, if you will, the RSS waves.
Yeah, your Wi-Fi.
Week after week, you are the reason that we do this show and are able to do the show every week. Thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you. Patreon.com/itsathing is where you can get access to our Discord and ad-free RSS feed and the bonus content week after week.
And if you missed that email address, this is for you, feedback@itsathing.me. Send us an email.
See you next week.
Bye.
Bye.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. warbyparker.com/covered.